Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the brilliant minds from the industry, and they'll be placed on the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. Today, we're honored to welcome a first-timer to the show, and he's none other than Chad Coleman, otherwise known as Hashtag Chad from Callaway Golf. Are you ready to step into the hot seat?
I'm ready. Wow, what a fantastic and soothing intro that was, JB.
I'm here to please. THP Radio.
And also, I would like to say real quick that I love the new intro you've got to THP Radio. It's like the 90s radio talk show, like intro. Love it. Throwback.
Little throwback. That's what it's there for. THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf. And the Golf Industry Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you're craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, as you can clearly tell from earlier, there's no editing done till the show ends, so you hear it all. Let's jump right into it. So your story getting into golf is well documented, but some of our readers and listeners may not have heard it. Can you explain to people how you ended up as Hashtag Chad at Callaway Golf?
Sure. Yeah. A lot of it was luck and good timing. I grew up, you know, a huge golf fan. Grew up, as a lot of people know by now, especially on THP and in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. Went to college there, got out of college, was working at a marketing social media type agency in Northwest Arkansas area. And I knew that I really had a passion for social and how brands can connect with their fans via social. But I didn't really love working at an agency because of the creative limitations that there were, but I was able to kind of dip my toes in the water as far as creating social content for big brands that were our clients and kind of getting a little feel for the potential there. So I found out about this position at Callaway through a friend, Ashley Mayo, we had never met, obviously, but I had followed her on Twitter, just like I followed a lot of other golf social media people at the time on Twitter, just because I was a fan of the game and on social and that kind of thing. So when the job came about, she sent me a note and said, "Do you want me to recommend you for this position?" And I said, "That would be awesome." And so it kind of went from there, and I had a phone interview a few days later and came out for an interview. And within the matter of a couple of weeks, I was from start to finish, I was living out here in California.
Now, to expand on that a little bit, social media hadn't quite taken off in golf. You mentioned Ashley, she was doing it for Golf Digest at the time, but the companies and the equipment side of it, it really hadn't taken off yet. How was the interview process like, or what was it like, and how was your expertise viewed as quote-unquote expertise?
So at the time that I had heard about this position, I believe that they had been trying to hire this position for like the 2 months prior to even talking to me. So they couldn't really find what they liked. It was the first position in the company for social media. And I don't think that the people hiring for it, really knew exactly what they were looking for, because it was the first position in the company. They knew that they needed this position, but nobody on the team here really knew exactly what they were looking for. So, you know, when I found out that they had been trying to hire, you know, for a couple months and didn't find anybody that they loved, I was thinking about it, and I was like, maybe they're looking for someone to tell them what they need, as opposed to just interviewing people and being like, I don't know, is that good? Is that what this person's supposed to be like? Is this what they're supposed to do? Like, it was all so new. So I kind of took that mindset and like, you know what, I'm gonna tell them why they should hire me. And I had tons of ideas. I just had so many ideas that I had just been thinking about that had been on my brain for a while, just as a golf fan and being in the social kind of space. I You know, I obviously my dream job was to get into golf and social. So I'd always had, you know, tons of ideas and just stuff like that. You know, I would sit around and I thought, that would be cool. That would be cool. So I had all these ideas kind of already, and I came up with some more. And I, Tim Buckman, who's one of my good friends, who's the guy who hired me here, I kept pestering him with emails. And I'm sure he thought, who's this kid from Arkansas? Why is he so annoying and just like badgering me with emails about this? But after our phone interview, I kept sending him emails of, here's what I would do if you hired me. Here's what I would do on Twitter. Here's what I would do on Facebook. Here's what Callaway needs to do to start out and to like get a framework and get a strategy, because there was none with Callaway. They had a couple of social accounts, but it was run by like a couple different people on their lunch hour kind of thing. There's no strategy or anything. So there was a lot of room for not only improvement, but a lot needed to be done, first of all, to like kind of get the framework together and get Callaway on a good strategy and kind of, you know, clean the slate and start going in the right direction. So I had tons of ideas, and I just sent so many emails to him. And even my wife was like, at one point she was like, do you think you're like really annoying him? And I don't know, but I feel like this is the right thing to do. I feel like, you know, I feel like they'll appreciate this if I go at it this way and attack it this way. And if I was in their position, I would want to hear from someone who had a million ideas than for someone who's just waiting on me to call them back kind of thing. So that was the approach that I took. And it turns out that, you know, I would find out later that Tim said that was actually a pretty crucial part. He was impressed with how persistent I was and the ideas, and that kind of helped me stand out. And, you know, it's crazy to think that a company like Callaway would hire some random kid from Arkansas to come out and, you know, do the social media for the company. And, you know, it doesn't happen by accident. So, you know, a lot of it was good timing and a little bit of luck, but it was also, you know, a lot of hard work and persistence. And then when I got the job, actually, you know, following through with it.
It's been a number of years now, and social media has kind of hit golf. There's good, there's bad. When it comes to digital media content, what do you think makes good content, and what do you think makes bad content?
I mean, it all comes down to, you know, it all comes down to can your fans or consumers relate with it? Is the content you're providing having an impact on them in an emotional way, or in a way that will, you know, maybe change their behavior or consider, you know, change their perception of your brand for the better, or connect with you, connect with the company, or connect with the people in the company in a better way. So, you know, the good thing about the social and digital age is there's so many brands out there, there's so many people out there, but regardless of all that, you know, the good content will always win. So if you put out good stuff, people will notice it. And it really boils down to that, as far as the difference between good and bad content is probably different in a lot of people's opinions, you know, varying opinions. But to me, it's all about the, you know, putting something out there that helps connect your consumers to your company or your brand and in an emotional way, and, you know, a way that makes them want to, you know, change their actions.
Yeah, I've long since said that the brand, we're in a world of golf that is a luxury item, and the brand that can connect on an emotional level to that person is the brand that's going to, quote, I'm doing finger quotes on the radio, I have no idea why, quote unquote, win. So rather than just engagement of once a week throwing up a picture by a brand, it's the brand that can connect on an emotional level. And based on our readership, and I'm not saying this because you're a guest, I've said it to other companies that have been on here as well, Callaway is winning that from the digital age. What some people don't realize is almost all of that content comes from you. You know, when we were talking once, at least on Twitter, when we were talking once, I believe there's only been like one day where the Twitter account wasn't you.
Yeah, it's, well, first of all, thank you for the compliments. I think there's a lot of people that do it well, aside from us, but appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think the only two times that I've ever kind of given the controls over to someone else was my wedding, and then I was out of the country on a cruise a couple months ago, so I kind of had no choice there. So, yeah, I mean, but that all comes back to, you know, the commitment to having, you know, a strong brand voice across all platforms, and that, you know, our consumers can expect the same content and the same tone and the same voice and the same type of delivery on all of our channels that they've come to know, and it's not sporadic. And I am a little bit of a control freak, or I'm kind of a lot of a control freak, so a lot of that is by choice. You know, I if I really wanted to, I could pass along a lot more than I do, but, you know, I take pride in it, and I take pride in anything that's ever put out from the Callaway social channel is a reflection of me, and not only a reflection of me, but the reflection of our company. So it's very, very important to me to, you know, to make sure that we're, you know, keeping a consistent kind of tone and voice and way of talking to our consumers.
So off topic, you get back from your cruise. First thing you do, check your luggage or check Twitter?
Oh yeah, check Twitter for sure. Oh, absolutely. It's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, and it's the last thing I do before I go to bed, and it's kind of unhealthy to some extent, but, you know, it is what it is.
The social media world is ever-changing, and, you know, it's hard to stay up with it. It changes as fast. I remember going back, you know, a year, 6 months, Meerkat came out and it was changing the world. And 7 days later, Meerkat was quote unquote dead. And, you know, Periscope was there. How do you stay on top of it? And how do you choose which, or strategize, I should say, which platforms make the most sense for Callaway?
Yeah, I think, you know, before we ever commit to hopping on a social channel, we don't want to just be on the newest hot hip thing just to say that we're on it. I really want to make sure that we can provide value on that channel. First make sure that our consumers and our fans are actually on that platform, whatever it is, to begin with. And then making sure we have a strategy and how we can provide a unique perspective of our brand and deliver it on that platform in a cool and entertaining and fun and informative way. So instead of just creating an account for the newest whatever and saying that Callaway's on this or Callaway's on that, we want to make sure that we're providing value. We don't want to get on there and leave our fans hanging. And, you know, I want to make sure that we have the resources dedicated to creating great content and putting out a unique perspective on this channel and putting a Callaway spin on the way that we use that channel and the way that we talk to our consumers there. So sometimes it doesn't work out. I mean, we launched a Tumblr platform a couple of years ago where, you know, we created a ton of really custom content and the page actually looked really, really good. We had a lot of great stuff on there, but it just wasn't getting enough. It wasn't getting much traction. It wasn't getting much action. And we kind of realized that, you know, the content was great. The content was good. It took a lot of time and effort to that goes into creating, you know, the custom content for that platform. And I just don't think our fans were there. I don't think it was the place for Callaway because our fans weren't there. They weren't resonating. It wasn't resonating or connecting with people. So, you know, so we nixed that. And so, you know, sometimes you try and sometimes you fail, but regardless, you know, we definitely go into it with a very defined strategy and, for whatever platform we're trying to get on.
Do you have a favorite, not from a personal standpoint, but for Callaway, where the engagement is good, the fans are entertained? Do you have a favorite out there right now?
They're all different, they're all different in their own regards. I really love Snapchat because it's a way of, you know, we're seeing this trend now of raw content, and whether that's Facebook Live or Periscope or Snapchat, people, fans, and consumers are interested in like raw, unpolished content. And with Snapchat, it has to be, you can't craft like some heavily filtered photo or story or whatever. It's all right there in the moment. It's very real. Same with Facebook Live. It's live, obviously. It's very real. It's right there in the moment. So, I think people are really connecting with that kind of content from brands. And so that's, you know, kind of the next big wave for us is, you know, we've seen great growth and great traction on our Snapchat, channel. And it does take, you know, a lot of time and effort to, you know, think of different ways that we can tell a product story or tell our brand story or whatever message it is we're trying to tell on Snapchat. It's not just, you know, putting out one photo from the Callaway handle on Snapchat every once in a while and calling it a day. It's, you know, we want to make sure that we have a story that we're willing to tell. And I, you know, I map it out and I storyboard it. And a lot of work goes into, you know, a lot of the work goes into creating, making sure that we're prepared and that we're providing a value, and we're on that channel in a unique way that is going to stand out and that people are going to notice and that people are going to look at it and think, wow, that's pretty cool of Callaway to do that. That's maybe maybe they think a different way, or maybe they leave, you know, thinking a different way of our brand. And Snapchat in particular is a place where we can get a little bit more fun and creative and kind of goofy. And, you know, I host as I serve as the host for most of our stories. So it's great for people to be able to connect with a person as opposed to, you know, on Twitter or Facebook, whatever the brand is posting as the brand, where on Snapchat, you can get a lot more personal. And I think people really connect with that kind of one-to-one, you know, relationship. So
I have a follow-up question on that, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, about Snapchat. The first is, from a brand perspective, at the end of the day, social media is a marketing tool. If the stuff is disappearing at 24 hours or whatever it is the marketing long-lasting enough to where the time is worth it? And the second thing is, if it's raw and uncut and, you know, that's what people are after, is it better to storyboard it, or is it better to just throw out what's on your mind?
All the platforms are different. So for Snapchat, the fact that it's gone in 24 hours, Snapchat isn't really a place where we go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be a great revenue driving channel for us. It's more about the brand perception, and it's more about, you know, building the brand of Callaway and providing content to a new audience in a different way, reaching an audience that we may not reach on other social channels with our product story and our company message or whatever it is we're trying to tell in a unique, funny, entertaining, and informative way. So I don't look at Snapchat and think, the fact that this is going to go away in 24 hours, you know, that means we shouldn't be on there because it may not drive direct revenue or direct sales, because you have to treat each platform differently and, you know, play to its strengths. And Snapchat is great for the brand and the perception of the brand. And I think, you know, there's a very unique audience on Snapchat that we are not able to reach through any of our other platforms. So in that way, it makes it worth it.
Makes sense.
For like the storyboarding thing, I think for Snapchat, there's a little bit more of a storyboarding process than like a Facebook Live. For Snapchat, it's, you know, I want to make sure that we're telling a story and we're hitting on all the points I want to hit on. If I'm revealing or if we announce a new driver and I'm like, all right, let's get an XR16 Snapchat story. It helps me to be able to follow some sort of a, you know, guideline. It's not like super, super, super storyboard scripted. It's more like, here are the main points of the driver I want to hit on. You know, here's kind of the features I need to say. Here's, you know, this could be a video, this could be a photo. How do I create a story that is entertaining, that will make people want to continue to watch? So whether it's, you know, a couple of videos and then a couple of photos and then, you know, something fun, or however the story is diced up into different forms of media to keep the attention and keep it moving along and to be able to tell a story. And, you know, we want people to, by the time they've ended, you know, watching one of our Snapchat stories, to think, wow, that was cool, that was fun, I enjoyed that. And also, I just learned a lot of stuff about a new Callaway product, and they may not have even realized it.
Very cool.
That's kind of the way we kind of handle that. Whereas a Facebook Live is a little bit more unscripted, because a lot of times it's interviews with someone or you're showing behind the scenes of something and you don't really have control. Whereas Snapchat, you know, you have a little bit more control. Sometimes if you are covering a live event or behind the scenes, you don't, you know, there's obviously no scripting required for that kind of thing. But if I'm trying to, you know, tell a story, a specific story, there's you can never be too prepared.
Agreed. So one of the things that we've talked about for a number of years is accessibility. And I know Harry Arnett at your company, he was on earlier this year, and we talked about accessibility through social media. You know, it has both the positives and the negatives. At what point does it become no longer viable to connect with all the fans? Do you risk alienation in some ways by making yourself accessible and then not being accessible? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a certain point where you just physically can't keep up with everything, I guess. But you know, we've been very committed here since day one to make ourselves available, and that means whether it's on the weekend or on a Tuesday night at 11:30 at night, if someone asks us a question, like we're all very, very committed to that, and we've said that from day one, and we still are. And that's, you know, it's kind of one of those things where as you kind of continue to do it, it just becomes part of your routine. And you know, we not only are we committed to it, but we enjoy it. You know, we love talking to fans, and we love hearing the good and the bad and the ugly and whatever it may be, because regardless, it's going to help us get better. And we're listening. We're listening to fans. We're kind of on the ground level, listening to what golfers want, what they don't want, what they like and don't like, and we're able to adjust, you know, to that. I don't think that I don't think we really risk alienating people. I think most people kind of understand that generally, and you know, most of the time, one way or another, they're able to find us and talk to us wherever we're at. But, you know, that's in some way.
You actually hit on something that's rather intriguing, which is you like hearing the good and the bad. And I don't think a single brand that I have followed, and this is not just golf, this is all consumer goods, has been both proactive and reactive as well as Callaway Golf has in the last couple of years. When fans said they wanted something, you guys brought it forward. And I mean that with both product and everything else. When they said they wanted this, this, and this, you guys made it happen. And it's a good sight to see for any brand, especially one in the luxury goods item, when not only are you listening to them, but making it happen, but also doing so in a way that makes them feel proud to support it. And I don't know where that comes from at the brand or who makes those decisions, but it's noticed on the outside and not just in our circle of readers, but in general.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, right? We started this with the notion of, you know, tell us all your feedback, the good, the bad, the ugly. And you know, we're lucky to have guys like Harry who are on the ground floor listening to consumers in this way. It's very rare to find, you know, the CMO of a major company like really actively listening to consumers on a day-to-day basis like he does. And I don't know how he has enough hours in the day, but he does. You know, he's very committed to that. And so he has the ability to say, hey, here's what I'm hearing. He has the ability to go to the product team and say, here's what I'm hearing, here's what I think we should do, and kind of take it from there. And that's kind of how it goes. Sometimes we're able to take that feedback and action, you know, take action on it and do something better. Sometimes we're not, but you know, that's kind of part of it. But at least we're giving ourselves the opportunity by committing and investing and listening in this way.
Now, switching gears a bit, the Cup is right around the corner.
Mm.
And for you guys that don't know it, our listeners, it's an event with THP and Callaway Golf. It pits hashtag Chad, who you're listening to now, against Mike Dean, one of our THP forum members. And they're going to have a team of seven guys, and each member is made up of either a Callaway Zoo Crew member, their marketing team, or a THP forum member. It's held in Myrtle Beach, True Blue, Caledonia. What do you expect to happen on the battlegrounds?
I mean, what do you think I expect to happen? Come on. I've always walked away victorious at Myrtle Beach. I mean,
well, except when you and I faced off, but that's neither here nor there. Although you did win the last.
Whoa! Yeah, let's talk about the most recent matchup we had. Of course, you're gonna dig back into the archives. So you know, I feel pretty good about my game, and I know we've been in a kind of a back and forth with our team members, and everybody's practicing and feeling good, and you know, I have not a single worry that we're gonna get out of this thing victorious.
Now, we announced just this week that the winning, everybody's going to get some sort of golf swag. They're getting a new Callaway stand bag that they can parade around, keep all their clubs in. But the winning team is actually going to get the goods, and they are getting a driver and a custom wedge. I assume you want that custom wedge and you don't want anybody else to have it other than your teammates.
Oh yeah. No, I when I do the custom wedges here with Anthony, I'm going to just go ahead and put the initials of my team on them. That's how confident that I am that we're going to win. I'm going to have Anthony go ahead and stamp the initials for each of the players on our team. You know,
very nice.
Just because I know.
So, it's time for Fire Away. 10 topics.
Okay.
First thing that comes to your mind, nothing to do with golf. Now, and I'm not sure you saw the teaser video we put out this morning. There's going to be a contest that goes along with this where our readers and listeners are going to be able to answer these same questions and submit that via email, and one of them is going to win a Callaway driver. So these questions are kind of important. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Fire away.
Better food, SoCal or Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Interesting.
Are these supposed to be one-word answers, or can I elaborate?
You can elaborate as much as you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than, you know, good old Southern fried foods. And here in California, Southern California, it's avocado toast or whatever the crap is. So it's very hard to come by some good Southern down-home cooking. So,
that's a no-brainer. I'm going to go off topic here. I have a story that Chad was down visiting in Florida on his way to, I believe, the Honda, and he stopped into our headquarters and we played some golf, and then we took him out to dinner, and we took him to a nicer restaurant, and he looked at the menu, and it was the most abysmal look I'd ever seen because it was kind of like fancy and weird stuff, and then you ordered a hamburger, which they had, and it came out raw, and I'll never forget the look on your face.
Totally, totally raw. Yeah, that was not, you know, one of the better nights that I've ever had, put it that way.
So you are in charge of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and, you know, all these social avenues. What is the worst message and just the coldest, meanest message you've ever received from in form of an engagement, not necessarily a fan or anybody?
There's a lot of them. I mean, I don't know if there's like one that stands out over the other, or there's always trolls. You're always going to have trolls. Some of them are actually pretty comical and I just laugh at them. Some of them are, you know, you just being in social, you have to understand and realize that these kinds of things are going to happen. People are going to say this kind of stuff. And, there's really, you know, you just have to learn how to deal with it without, you know, getting too angry or getting yourself down about it. And you're always going to have people who are just sitting there behind the computers and saying all kinds of stuff. And I don't know if there's one in particular that stands out over the rest, but there's definitely been quite a few.
Now, the Callaway marketing team, affectionately known as the Zoo Crew, is a tight-knit group. You guys have traveled together. Who has the worst road rage in that group?
Worst road rage. Well, I don't really. The only person I really am in when we travel and I'm in like a rental car where they're driving is usually like Scott. I don't really drive with a lot of other people because we usually kind of do our own thing or we take like a bus to get us where we need to go or whatever. Scott's not too bad. So I don't think I've ever experienced any super road rage.
Gotcha. What are acceptable toppings on a hot dog?
Ketchup, mustard, cheese, chili. That's it.
Good answer. Worst fans, Razorback fans or Cowboys fans?
Worst, and I have to answer because they're obviously both great. I guess I'll go Razorbacks just because college football is all that we have in the state of Arkansas. So there's so much passion and just craziness for Arkansas Razorbacks football team because we don't have a pro team in Arkansas. So the amount of, you know, there's obviously a lot of great fans, but there's also, you know, when you get on the internet forums, there's a lot of, you know, crazy, crazy Razorbacks fans because, you know, that's all we got. So everybody in the entire state has, you know, all their kind of extra time and or whatever is devoted to Arkansas Razorbacks. So you get kind of twice the amount, I would think,
Yeah, I mean, there's other things. There's a lot of denim. There's crime. There, you know, there's a lot of other things in Arkansas, yeah. But I get where you're going with it.
That's true, yeah.
What is the best sandwich and from where?
Just generally speaking, ever?
Ever.
Best sandwich. I would have to say there's a place here, and I'm trying to think of somewhere that a lot of people would recognize more than this sub shop here in Carlsbad called Hungry Bear that I love.
That's a great place. Massive, I just went it last week.
Oh, it's crazy. They have like massive, humongous sandwiches, and they're amazing. I can't even describe. But okay, I'm glad you went there so you can testify.
Very much so.
Okay, good.
The ultimate Italian done hot with the cream of balsamic is to die for.
Ooh, I got to try that next time.
Okay, we're going to talk burgers. You're going to make name your masterpiece. This is named the hashtag of burgers. What are the toppings?
Okay. We'll go fried egg. We'll go pulled pork. We'll go cheddar cheese. Go like those really thin, super crispy onion straws. Just a few of them. I'm not a huge onion guy. Maybe just a few of those. We'll go barbecue sauce. And I think that's gonna be it. I think we're gonna keep it pretty simple. Just go, you know,
sure.
you got meat, cheese, pulled pork, fried egg. So you're hitting all your major food groups there. And then, you know, we'll go brioche bun. I think we'll go brioche bun. It's kind of the trendy thing, I think, now. We'll add some lettuce on there too, you know, just to get healthy.
You had me until you added the salad.
Just to make sure it's healthy.
Worst situation for you personally. You have a 3-hour flight here. Back of the plane in the middle seat or first row but no Wi-Fi?
3-hour flight, first row, no Wi-Fi, 100%. I have to have Wi-Fi on the plane or I'll go absolutely crazy. And I would definitely rather sit in the very back row middle seat and have Wi-Fi for 3 hours than front row and not. No brainer.
Best travel city for food outside of California and Arkansas?
Travel city.
Yeah, I mean, you could go state if it's multiple places. Like a couple people said Tennessee because they like both Memphis and Nashville.
Yeah, I was gonna say Memphis. We went there. I used to go there quite a bit. It was only about 4 or 5 hour drive from where I grew up, so we would go down there for fraternity stuff, formals, and whatnot. And you know, there's so many great barbecue options and. You know, if you got pretty much everything down there, so I'll have to go with Memphis.
And finally, you work with AJ. You sit near him in the office. What is the strangest
yep.
thing that AJ tells you about New York food that stirs a debate?
Oh, well, we got to start out with the regular pizza slice fiasco that he thinks that everyone in New York calls, you know, like, so if you were going into a pizza place by the slice and you wanted a pizza that had no toppings on it, what would you say? What would you order?
Cheese, of course.
Maybe. Right. You'd order a slice of cheese. According to AJ, it's a slice of regular.
I know. My wife, who's from New York, said, I've never heard that before.
See, my point exactly. And every time another New Yorker chimes in and says they've never heard that, AJ thinks it's ridiculous, and he says, and every time we go back to it, it comes down to, I think it's just his family that says that, and nobody else. But he's still convinced that everyone calls it a regular slice, and no matter how many times I prove him wrong, or there's other opinions, or whoever chimes in, we even did a Twitter poll, and it was like a landslide. So no matter how many times, you know, that's kind of like anything with AJ. If he has his mindset on something, and you tell him it's something else and you prove it to him time and time again, factually or scientifically or however, he still refuses to you know, to to tell you that you're right. So, you know, it's just kind of how you win with AJ. You know
it
that
does
you
make
know
it
that
entertaining,
knows,
though.
You know that he knows deep down that you're right. He's just not going to admit it. So that's good enough for me.
There you have it, gang. We want to thank Hashtag for coming on the show and talking about his career, Callaway Golf, and of course, important questions and fire away. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything you've heard here, including the cup. And don't forget to follow along on Twitter at THP Golf and at Hashtag Chad, along with at Callaway Golf and many others. And let us know your thoughts on the episode. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or our new show, On the Tee Box. And leave a review with your thoughts in iTunes if you agree with Chad on these fire away topics. And don't forget, new contest coming up shortly. Find the thread on the THP forum or the link in Twitter, and you'll be able to enter by answering the questions on your own. So for myself, and of course Chad, we hope you enjoyed the new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.